prayer and ask a continued interest in your prayers. I want to study with you tonight Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Somewhat continuing with the theme of pure religion, undefiled before God, the Father. Pure, sincere worship. It's been said that the book of Psalms touches every human emotion. I'm not sure I've ever been able to test all of that, but I believe it. Because the Word of God is a thorough furnisher unto all good works, and certainly there is a variety of sentiment and food for the soul in the book of Psalms. I've often pointed out that, you know, Psalm 88, there's not a joyful word in that whole psalm. The psalmist is down in the dumps when he begins, and he's still there when he ends. Psalm 88. Sometimes life is that way, isn't it? So this book is real. It's true. And it's good for us. All right? Now, let's just read Psalm 1. It's only 6 verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I really don't intend to spend much time talking about the ungodly. We take the word for what it says. We know it's true. But I want to notice this man that's blessed. Every one of us here tonight are blessed. And a lot of times when we think about that word blessed, we think of the blessings that we've received. And certainly we have many. The psalmist says he daily loadeth us with benefits. But this also means that we're in a blessed state. That we, as the chosen of God, we who have been born of the Spirit, we who have his Spirit within us, we who are blessed with faith, who we have some understanding of the truth, we're blessed to know who he is and what he has done, we're blessed. Not everybody has that. Why do you have that? Now, I can look at you and I say, I know why. You know, you're good folks. And there's a sense in which that's absolutely right. I'm looking at some folks that are the salt of the earth. But it's by the grace of God that we are or have anything. Anything good in us is of the Lord. It's a blessing from the Lord. It's by the grace of God that we have anything. But we do have many blessings. God has blessed us wonderfully. And I would that all of God's people, as they walk the face of this earth, would show forth such praises to God by their demeanor, by their choices, by their actions, by whatever, that those who know what they're looking at would say, now there goes a God-fearing person. Oh, that we could all have such a testimony. Oh, that we could all let our light shine to such a degree that it would truly glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm not saying we don't. But as I've said many times, there's room for improvement. Okay? And so the Word of God exhorts us to righteousness. It exhorts us to follow these principles that it teaches us. All right? So blessed is the man. Okay? Now, he gives several things about this blessed person that they don't do. Sounds like an unusual way to start out describing somebody, isn't it? But it's entirely accurate. You know, when the Lord told Adam and Eve, when the Lord gave them his commandment, he told them something not to do. You know? Isn't it human nature that for something that you can't have, you want it? There's just something within us, you know, this old fallen nature, I'll put it on that, that oftentimes something we can't have or not supposed to have, shouldn't have. Well, look at Adam and Eve. You know, what more could God have provided for Adam and Eve? But God didn't make them sin, but he knew they would. Okay? So he told them, all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat there. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What'd they do? They ate of that one tree. That one tree. They ate of it. And they died. You know, you go through that list of those early ones in Genesis. They lived to be so many years. They begat sons and daughters, and they died. Verse after verse after verse, you have that pattern. They lived. They brought in children into the world. They died. Okay? But thanks be unto God. That's not the way it ends. For that those that are in Christ Jesus, those who are covered by his blood, those who are forgiven of their sin, those who have been born of his spirit, bless your hearts, when we breathe out our last, we awake in the presence of our God to sing his praises forevermore. I know in spirit we go until Jesus comes again, but when he comes again, he's bringing those souls and spirits with him. And he's going to raise these bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body and change those of us that are alive and remain and take us all back to heaven with him to sing his praises forever. So now, that hasn't happened yet. We don't know when that's going to happen. But it really doesn't matter, does it? Because of what the Lord has done for us, it's ours. And it's sure. And nothing's going to hinder that. And so we can rejoice tonight as if it's already happened. All right? We know that we still got this old nature to contend with while we're here, but we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God right now. Blessed is the man. So he gives three things that they're not or that they don't do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, the counsel of the ungodly leads us away from God. Who wants to go there? Why would we listen to that? You know, when Rehoboam, Solomon's son, who took the throne after Solomon, when he sought counsel, He first sought counsel from the older men, those that had stood and had served Solomon. And you know, they told him, if you speak good to this people and serve them, here's the king. But they're telling the king, serve them and they'll serve you forever. You know, that's what a good a king is, still the servant of God. When we elect public officials, they're supposed to be servants of the people. That's one of the big problems today, isn't it? They want to rule over the people instead of being servants to the people. All right. So those older men advised Rehoboam in that fashion. And then he sought counsel from the younger men. Oh, they had a very different way, didn't they? And Rehoboam decided he was going to follow them instead of the godly counsel. And look at what happened. And so it is every time we're not seeking the Lord, and we're not listening to godly counsel, it leads us away from God. This blessed man that was described here in these six verses, who is tremendously blessed, and I hope to have more time with verses 2 and 3, but tremendously blessed, and they're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing, okay, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Standing with those that are doing the wrong things. Okay, I'm putting this just simply. They're doing the wrong thing, and they're willing to be identified with those that are doing the wrong things. Well, that's real easy to see how that ought not to be. It's not for us who are blessed and know who the Lord is and know his way and know his word. That's not for us. Okay? Very quickly, notice Proverbs 1, verse 5. A wise man, Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To enjoy this real happiness, by the way, which... That's the point that I want to try to make tonight, is real happiness. You know, I guess most everybody has their definition of what makes them happy. And usually, well, quite often, that involves some kind of fun here in this world. Well, you know, the word fun's not in the Bible. Now, joy is there plenty of times. And that's what we're after, is joy in the Lord. And if we can get that right, if we've got joy in the Lord, then the rest of life will just fit right in. Okay? But when our priority is seeking the Lord and his counsel so that we can enjoy real happiness, lasting happiness, by being right with the Lord, so to speak, and enjoying the peace that comes from that, then we see real happiness. It's lasting. Okay? So he says, this blessed man also does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see the progression here? First he's walking by, then he's standing, now he's seated. This person has moved on from just walking in the way and identifying himself with those ungodly. Now he's seated in the seat of the scornful, those that would criticize those of the way, those that would disdain the things of God. You see the direction that that's taken? We don't want any part of that. Okay? But that's the direction that this old flesh takes people. All right? And not only are they in that position themselves, then if they're sitting in the seat of the scornful, then they're likely influencing others to do the same. Come go with us. Have a part in this. So that person or that position, obviously, by what this psalm is telling us, is not blessed. And I think we understand that. But verse 2 is where we really want to look. But his delight, the blessed man, his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. Lord, what's your will? Lord, help me understand your word. Help me understand how to apply these principles to my life. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He finds his joy there. He looks for guidance there. He's relying upon the word of God. And he's got a moral compass. And that moral compass is guided by this word, so that those actions line up with what the word of God says we should be. I tell you, this word is indispensable, isn't it, for living such a life? No wonder God went to, I know it was no trouble for him, but when we look at how the King James translation came into being, and if we look back in the Bible itself, and you know there was a time when the Lord gave prophecy to Jeremiah, and when it was read, it affected the people, so they wanted the king to hear it, and when the king heard it, he threw it in the fire. You know, Satan's always trying to destroy somehow the word of God. Whatever effect the word of God can have, he wants to destroy that. All right? So his delight, this man that's blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You ever have problems sleeping? A lot of people do. It's a rare case. I'm blessed. It's a rare occasion that I have problems sleeping. But I recommend, if you're having problems sleeping, start meditating on the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that's going to put you to sleep. But I'm going to tell you, it'll set you at ease. It'll give you more peace. It will help you. And who knows but what the Lord, the Spirit, will direct you to a passage that is just what you need. Do you know that's possible? Oh, I know it's possible because it's happened. There's passages that the Lord's put on my heart to think about and study out and whatever. And it wouldn't be but a day or two before somebody's asking me about that very passage. You know, I mean, it's just... We're not left to our own. The Lord loves his people. The Lord sent his Spirit to our heart to be there, to help us, to guide us, and to teach us. And we need to avail ourselves to the things that the Lord has given us in this life so that we can enjoy to a greater degree this blessed life that we have. Because his delight, this blessed man, his man and woman, you know, brothers and sisters, this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And there's great blessings in that. The next verse is going to tell us the condition of or the blessing and what comes from meditating in his law day and night. Delighting in it and meditating upon it. He shall be, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, we're not talking about just a plant that gets the water that it needs. That's good. I remember I inherited an office one time when I first started in the workforce, and there was a plant, a peace lily in there, and that thing stayed more on the on the desk than it did up, you know, because I just didn't think to water it like I should. We're not talking about just something receiving what it needs. This is something that's planted by the rivers of water. That there is an abundance of supply and refreshing to it. Now he's using the analogy of a tree. But he's talking about the man that's blessed. We have an abundance of grace and refreshing available to us. And the more we avail ourselves to it, the more effect it has upon us. It's there. The Lord is always there for us. And so as we think about this abundant supply of refreshing that's ours. Now, not only that, he goes on, he says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now just imagine this tree that just has this abundance of water, okay, to supply and to refresh it. And the world in which David is writing, and where he grew up, there's a lot of desert. There's a lot of dryness. But even so, if this tree is planted by the rivers of water, it's always refreshed. Now compare that to us. Sometimes life gets dry. Sometimes, you know, we face the heat of persecution or trials or whatever the case might be. A lot of times we face those things. But I tell you, it just rejoices my heart to see somebody that's going through a lot of trial and a lot of affliction. But bless your hearts, they're just bearing up. They're strong. They're trusting the Lord. It's just, in some respects, it's just not affecting them at all. And that's the picture that we're being given here. All right? This refreshing and this abundant supply. Now, think about this for a moment. Didn't Jesus say in John 10:10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly? God has provided all that we need to live such a life. So to whatever degree we avail ourselves to these things, and you know, we're talking about children of God, but to the degree to which we avail ourselves to these things, we can enjoy it. So he said, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You know, if you don't water plants, especially like tomatoes, vegetables, you know, those kind of things, if you don't water those things, they're not going to be very fruitful, are they? Okay? So what does that tell us then about having a fruitful life? Doesn't that tell us that we need to be walking close to the Lord, meditating upon his word, walking in his ways, and meditating upon those things that he's taught us in his word of how we should live our lives so that we can be more fruitful. Okay. But he has all that we need. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Jesus taught us in John 15 that he's the true vine and we're the branches. And where does the branch get its nourishment? From the vine. All right? So we've got what we need if we avail ourselves to it. And he brings forth his fruit in his season. When we're meditating on the Word of God, when we're growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we're walking closely to the Lord, we have the Spirit guiding us. We have the Spirit helping us. We're just growing in whatever way. We can bear more fruit to the glory of God. All right. His leaf also shall not wither. I've seen some of the saints of God who weathered terrible afflictions. But they weren't like a withered leaf. You know, God sustained them. They were trusting the Lord. He gave them the strength and the grace that they need. So his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're trusting the Lord, looking to him. He supplies our needs. He blesses in whatever way is pleasing unto him. Okay? So look at this life, the what's described. He uses this tree to represent a well-watered tree, a tree that's bearing its fruit in its season, a tree that's not withered no matter what the heat might be. Okay? In other words, it's, in a lot of respects, it's not affected by the environment around it. Aren't we thankful? You know, Romans 12, we talked about that recently, about be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by meditating upon that word, by walking in the Spirit, by enjoying the blessings of God, by seeking his counsel, all that from within. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, meditation, I think a lot of people don't really appreciate meditating on the Word of the Lord. The Spirit can help us, and it does help us in lots of ways when we meditate upon the things that we might not have even considered of some of these truths in the light that the Spirit can shine that light on that particular circumstance. And maybe it's because what life is presenting us in that moment, maybe we see some of these truths in a little different light. It's not different truth, it's just a different light on the same truth. But we do grow. I mean, life teaches us a lot of things. And when we take that and apply the Word of God and see what it's teaching us, then we can just receive a whole new perspective and better understanding of what it's teaching us. So, we're not so much affected by the world. God has given us, provided for us what we need to serve him. And when we're seeking him, what did he say in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when we're doing that, and bless your hearts, he said, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right? So, the more we're seeking the Lord, the more we're delighting in his law and meditating in his word day and night, okay, the more we can address these other areas of our life when we've got the priorities right. Okay. So his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I mentioned John 10:10. I came that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. Another verse that, when I was pondering this, came to mind is in Isaiah chapter 9. Remember, this is one of the prophecies of the Messiah. Isaiah 9, verse 6, very familiar passage. Okay. Get to verse Isaiah 9. We'll look at it, because I might not quote it exactly right. Isaiah 9, 6, the familiar passage, the familiar portion of it, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? All government, okay? And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, okay? Those names of the Lord. But what I'm after is verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace. The increase. That word carries the idea of abundance. Continuing. Okay? Think about that for just a moment. We're talking about this man that meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That abundance of refreshing. The Spirit brings that to us. That abundance of refreshing. Okay? So, when he speaks about the Lord, he says of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon the king, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That was our Lord as he came, or the prophecy of him coming into this world, of the increase of his government and peace. My point is, that continues. That's available to us all the time. You know, that's in abundance. He's ruling and super ruling. So when we think about that abundance that he provides, then we also think about John chapter 4. I know I'm bouncing around here, but I want to get several thoughts before you. John chapter 4, remember the woman at the well? She questioned the Lord as to why he asked her for a drink, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus told her, John chapter 4, verse 13, and Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. The natural water. Okay. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. His Spirit within us. You know, James said, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to us. Paul said, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? So, the closer we are to the Lord, this man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, then he's going to be refreshed. He's going to be flourishing. Okay? And that's what the Spirit of the Lord does for us. How refreshing it is when we read this word and the Spirit blesses us with that understanding, and we just rejoice in what we understand about the Word of God. Whether it's speaking about the purpose of God in sending His Son to save us from our sins, or whether He's talking about the building our life upon that solid foundation by hearing and doing. You know, isn't that what Jesus said in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount? He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man, built his house upon a rock. It was able to withstand all the pressures of life. He didn't wither, in language of Psalm 1. You know, he wasn't a forgetful hearer, in the language of James chapter 1. You know, a life that's flourishing, a life that's strong, a life that's rejoicing in the things of God. Delighting in the law of the Lord. You know, remember that lawyer that came to Jesus and said, which is the first and great commandment? Well, Jesus gave him one. You know, I'm drawing a conclusion here, but I don't think he hesitated in the least to tell him which was the first and great commandment. Because the Jews understood back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And let's see, Deuteronomy says, in all thy might, I believe, doesn't he? All thy heart, thy soul, thy might. So in Matthew, when it's quoted, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And let's see, Mark, I think he says heart, soul, strength. Maybe he also says mind. You can look it up. Mark 12. But my point is this. The first commandment, the first and great, and I submit to you that that bears our attention tonight. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord. He's loved us so much. He loves us so much. He will continue to love us so much. The more we consider, you know, John would tell us in his epistle later, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love is that? The more we consider the love he has for us, the love he has shown us. You know, Paul in Romans, he speaks about how when we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. The love that he has for us. Then it just, to me, stands to reason, the more that we can meditate and consider how we can show our love to him is way up there. How we can show our love to him. Now Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we know that's a great way that we love him. He also said, if any man will be like me, or if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So whenever we deny self and seek what would be pleasing to the Lord, then that's also obeying his word. So there's so much that we could consider with regard to this person spoken of in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's fruitful. He's refreshed by what the Lord supplies. You know, that well of water that springs up within us. And he doesn't wither. We have every reason to be strong. There's a lot of things in the world today I wish was different. But there's not very much I can do about most of those things. But I can humble myself before God. I can thank him for all the blessings that he gives us. And I don't have enough time to try to enumerate them because I don't even know what all those blessings are. But I know that he daily loads us with benefits. And so I can spend time thanking God for all that he's done for us. I can show mercy to others like he's shown unto us. I can be kind when I'd rather respond in kind. I want to be kind. I want to speak the truth in love. I want to speak the truth, but I want to speak it in love. When we understand, when we meditate in his law day and night, when we avail ourselves to reading and studying this word and trying to be the kind of person. You see, that Psalm 1 man in perfection is the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed us perfectly all of this. Matter of fact, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. May God help us to meditate upon his word, especially this Psalm 1 man. May we try to follow that example that we're given. You know, as wonderful as the book of Psalms is, that's the way it starts. By showing a great value to considering the word of God, meditating upon it, trying to learn as much of it as we can, and applying it to our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to his matchless name. I'm thankful that there's a lot of Psalm 1 people today, but we can all improve a little bit, can't we? May God help us to consider these things, lay them to heart, and try to be that person that he says is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The prosperity under consideration there, no doubt, is whatever we're following in the will of God and what the Lord is blessing us in our lives. May God help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior and to be more like what he says about this Psalm 1 man. We've got all the refreshing that we need in the Spirit of the Lord. May God help us. May God bless you, is our prayer.